the film kid thing looks at the world through a young girl's eyes. She's 10 years old, and she's got an absentee father who's, you know, basically non-existent. I mean, how does she, Annie, the girl in the film, how do you think she sees the world?
Well, I think she is with a... Let's see how I think she's figuring out how she sees it. I mean, I think she's not completely trusting of it. It's just it's very foreign to her, and there's like multiple levels of alienation that she's kind of experiencing just from her environment and kind of the way she deals with things around her. And so it's just very, very strange and foreign and raw. And she's, you know, trying to sort it out with this, you know, kind of kid logic that's very different from, you know, an adult with years of experience and kind of a moral compass that she, you know, doesn't have or is figuring out.
As writers, I mean, kid logic, that's a great turn of phrase there. As writers, how did you say to yourself, I'm going to get inside and look at this story from her point of view rather than an adult might look at it?
That was what we wanted to do from the beginning. We wanted to do a film about this particular childhood that was not like from a maudlin or sentimental perspective that you often see with movies about childhood, either literally from the adult's perspective or just kind of the feeling you get in terms of, you know, how things are presented. And we wanted everything to feel, you know, from her point of view. And so definitely like, her, you know, her choices, her logic was, and just her overall perspective that we presented in the film was skewed in that direction. Rather than a more objective, you know, kind of viewpoint, and yeah.
Did you have any
of that? I think like a lot of her actions and stuff that we put in the movie were stuff that we remember from childhood. Just that sort of wandering in the woods and kind of that freedom to do whatever you want. Like David makes a good point about. He said before of like the whole BMX bike and being able to kind of like that's your first moment of being able to, you know, go out on your own.
Freedom,
yeah, your own part of freedom. And so it was a lot of things when we were discussing it, and David's the primary writer, it was about like things that we remember from our childhood and trying to, you know, embrace that as a point of view and trying to remember what we kind of grew up with. And then not that we had the same childhood and kid thing, but no, much different.
But just in terms of more in terms of little moments of just or little details like her, like the fact that she, you know, the BMX bike is kind of her mode of transportation and was like, you know, like it was our first source of, you know, freedom for getting out of the clutches of, you know, parental guidance, and then spending time in the woods and at convenience stores getting candy and just things like that. It seemed like those were like such high priorities, you know, when we were little.
Now there is a you know, a real dark undercurrent to the story. So when you're working with a child actor also, I mean, how much of it, of your ideas, do you explain to them?
She hadn't read a script before. This is the first thing she'd acted in. And so we just spent a lot of time just kind of talking about the tone that we were going for and making sure that she was, you know, on the same page with us so that we could have a shorthand when we're actually, filming. But the whole process for her, we wanted, you know, we were, you know, doing a million things at once and had everything very calculated, but in terms of how we presented it to her, it was important that it was, you know, like a game and just like an extracurricular activity like soccer would be, or her other the sports that she does, you know, in her you know, in her day-to-day life. So if it wasn't for, you know, for working with a kid that age and being in every shot, you know, shot of the film, I think it wouldn't have been fair to, you know, to get her involved. It wasn't going to be like a really fun experience. And the first thing she said after she saw it initially was that she was surprised about the dark undercurrent because it was such a pleasant experience. And we were joking around and laughing, and there was a sense of adventure and camaraderie, and she really enjoyed it. And so she just talked about it was really interesting to see, you know, the film, you know, is not reflective of the experience at all in terms of, yeah.
Now, there are a lot of scenes in the film that I felt, at least, that go on a lot longer than I would have expected. You know, the scene just stays, holds on two characters doing an action longer than I would have expected. Sometimes uncomfortably long, mm-hmm. I think. And is that by design?
Okay. very much so. We just kind of liked, for this film especially, like the idea of, like just putting time into the composition and into and letting the action kind of unfold naturally in front of it and taking its own, having its own kind of life within the scene with the ebb and flow of, especially, I mean, and there's a lot of it is, I don't know, with like comedic high and low points within, you know, over the course of a take where it, you know, it might start out funny and then get uncomfortable and almost, you know, pushing it too long and then hopefully, you know, bring it back around. And, but we have, it's very like deliberate and timed out.
Because I'm thinking of a scene, there are a few like this, but I'm thinking of a scene again where the father and his friend are just like cackling up and laughing over something and it just, they keep going. And it keeps going, and I'm just like, oh, it starts to get kind of weird after a while, yeah.
And like when because we have set up this composition with everybody in there, like the idea is you start to notice things that, you know, you may have not noticed just because of where the energy in the scene is dictated. And at one point, some people have said that, yeah, they're laughing, and then I look over and Annie's still sitting there like with the same bored expression, and like that's what struck them.
Thought it'd be interesting to have the audience sit with it, you know, in the same experience that the girl was, you know, like having to, you know, just kind of, if since it was more interesting that she, if it was just holding on them laughing the whole time, it wouldn't have been as interesting, I think, as having her, you know, her there for the audience to identify with, just having to kind of live in that moment. At least that was the intention with it. So
you have a key plot element in the film in which Annie discovers a woman at the bottom of a well, and this woman's name is Esther, and we never see her. So I wanted to hear, you know, especially for somebody in radio, what are the vocal qualities that you were looking for this person down there? I mean, how did you wind up casting the role?
Well, we'd become friends with Susan Tyrell, and she'd seen some of our work and liked it a lot, and we're just big fans of hers. And she just has such an amazing voice, and it can just has this incredible range where then, you know, within one sentence it can go from, you know, terrifying to tragic to, you know, to just a full range of emotions, you know, with her cadence, and we wanted that for this kind of character, because from, you know, since it's from Manny's point of view, this the whole element of her, you know, I don't know, like one compassion, and then also being, or some element of compassion combined with complete fear of this, you know, mysterious, you know, voice, and so that's what we were looking for, and that's what we, you know, got from Susan. So
I've heard the film described as a dark fable. That's the word used. Does that seem apt to y'all at all?
Yeah, we kind of wanted to combine elements of like a coming of age story with a fable. I mean, so many like, you know, Grimm's fairy tales, those sorts of things, and some of it was more on a subconscious level, and is like looking at when we're done. But I mean, we're very, I don't know, very influenced by like folklore and like Grimm's fairy tales, like growing up, and there's definitely an element of the kid wandering through the woods and comes across a witch or some, you know, mysterious element, you know, void or just something in the woods. And that was something we liked, the idea of kind of taking those kind of tropes and but grounding it in a contemporary, you know, naturalistic story.
Now, with that in mind, how much of the movie is quote unquote real?
What do you mean, like
story-wise, or?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you never know if Esther is real or not. Yeah, I mean,
since the movie's from her perspective, Annie definitely feels that Esther is real. But we, as filmmakers, kind of leave it up to the audience to pick which side they want to go with or how they interpret the film. So we do some tricks to kind of leave it up to, you know, your imagination as well.
But yeah, but at the end of the day, it's from her perspective, and her in her perspective, it's very much there. So that's as specific as we get with it.
I guess I also read somewhere that you're already thinking about a next film that's going to be shot again here in Texas. Is that correct?
No. Wait.
No, is that right?
Did she say?
No. I think I read an article when I was researching beforehand.
No, I mean, we have lots of films we want to do, but no, the next one wouldn't be in Texas. We're pulling it together right now, so yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. We'll do more here at some point for sure. Yeah,
we've got a wealth of ideas that hopefully we have enough time in our life to get to, and some of them. I mean, the neat thing about filmmaking is that. Part of it that excites us is being able to go to some other place and explore another environment, because an environment is just as much of as a character or a part of the film. So we'd like to shoot all over if we can, but Texas has been really fun to shoot in for now, that's for sure.
What is it about this area that you like?
There's a lot of diversity in you know, scenery. I think also for us, since some of the movies we've done our smaller and personal, there's a film familiarity with it. Like, especially with this film, we shot a lot of it where we grew up. So like the woods that she's walking around in, we would play, you know, in those when we were kids, and it just seemed kind of natural to shoot here in that regard.
Well, David and Nathan, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for your interest. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.